on. All this dope I stepped on. Real, get the rest gone. Then that nigga, what else you want? Power, powder, respect.
Hey, what is up, everyone? This is Gary A. Swaby, and you're now listening to or watching the Powercast. And we are back this week to recap Power, Book 4, Force, Season 2, Episode 8. And the title of the episode is Dead Reckoning. And I am joined today by Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. And say it ain't so, Rich. Tell me you ain't snitching.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Gary. Good afternoon, listeners and viewers. Yes, I am the real snitch because for some reason, Tommy can't figure out who the snitch is. So I'm here to help him out so that it'll make it a lot easier next week when, on the next show when they revealed that I actually was behind everything. So,
Tommy needs to use his process of elimination skills to figure out who the snitch is because it can only be a few people. Like, you know, it's not that hard to solve, But yeah, I'm sure he'll figure it out if that is really you and not Vic. But there you go. And we're also joined by Miss Dana Abercrombie. How are you doing today, Dana, aka Lakeisha's ghost?
I'm excited to be back. I never thought I would be on Force. You know, I died back in couple last finales of the original Power around that time, and they brought me back. I'm happy. I wonder what, you know, the people over at BMF have to say. Living a double life.
Oh yeah, and you know, Stacey Marks actually warned Maria about you. She said Tommy's got to ask about your ghost. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, we are back. We are a little later than usual, and you know, I apologize for that. That's mainly my fault because you know, things been a bit hectic for me recently, but yeah, you know, sometimes you've got to move things around, you know, reschedule things, but yeah, we are here finally, so, you know, just a short delay. I apologize, we wasn't out at, you know, 1 a.m. Eastern like usual, but we are here eventually, and I hope you guys still tune in and listen and leave all your comments, because, you know, we value and appreciate all the comments. Even the ones that, you know, speak against what we do, you know, we appreciate those as well. And, you know, just real quick, I do want to remind people that this is, you know, a review show also. Now, let me tell you a little history about the Coalition. You know, for over a decade, I'd say it's been like 15 years or something, we've been reviewing video games and different types of media, you know, even electronics and you know, movies, TV shows. Like we are reviewers. We review things. We write editorials. So when we're doing that, we look at good and bad things. But you know, we're not always digging at it, because when it comes to Power, we actually love Power. It's a very entertaining show. We enjoy watching it. We love the work that Stars and Joseph Sikora and everyone does. It's just that, you know, it's in our nature to look at things from, you know, good and bad perspective. Like, see, oh, I really liked this, but, you know, this could have been better. You know, it's just the way we are. And that's the nature of our show and what we do, you know. But we're not like downplaying the show or dissing it or anything like that. It's just how we are. You know, it's a good dialogue to have, you know, to speak on our different perspectives on the show and what we liked and disliked, and see where we find common ground in these things as well. You know, that's basically what we try to achieve. And that's why we also welcome people to leave comments so they can share their perspective also, you know. So that's what it is with us, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, I won't delay too much. We'll, you know, as usual, please do leave your comments. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. Look for all the good content coming out. Dana's got a lot of interviews coming, so make sure you check out the Coalition Entertainment channel also. She's been very busy recently, you know, at NY Comic Con and everything. So make sure you look out for her content. And make sure you also check out the gaming channel, because we've got some stuff coming over there. If you haven't yet, hit up the website, thecoalition.com. That's Coalition with a K. and not Tommy's Coalition. So yeah, hit that up. We got the Spider-Man review today, the video game. So go check that out. That was written by Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. And that's further proof that we are professional reviewers right there, because Rich been had that game, you know, for weeks. So, you know, just to let you know. So, yeah, let's get right into the takeaways this week. And we are going to go with Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. first this week. So, Rich, when you're ready, hit us with your takeaways.
Yes. Okay, so Dead Reckoning. Let me go ahead and start off by saying I actually enjoyed this episode. Anytime that Eef Rivera does an episode, I'm a fan of his work, so I did enjoy this episode. I don't really have too many negative things to talk about. I do wanted to give my takeaways, though. I have three main takeaways I want to go into for this particular episode. So we're going to start off with Diamond in this episode. I think this was a very big episode for this character, because what we have seen of him on this entire show so far is he's basically going down the path of being a reformed man, you know, after getting out of jail, trying to turn his life around. But the thing is, as a viewer, we have never seen like the darker side to Diamond. And it feels as though we finally got that in this episode, which makes me very interested to see where the character goes from here. Now, obviously, just to give a quick recap, we did see at the beginning of this episode, he did have a conversation with Gianna. I think that conversation was very important because she emphasized that Leon is important to her. And if something was to happen to Leon that he was responsible for, then that would just cause a lot of issues. She wants Leon to stay safe. She knows about Diamond's past, so on and so forth. So, I mean, I'm glad they put that conversation in there to emphasize. I mean, we already knew that he was important to her. Leon was important to his mom. We knew that already. But I still felt they needed to have that conversation to really let you know. And I will say this, Dana and I predicted that Leon would get killed. We did this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the show. It just felt like the minute that they introduced the character, something bad was going to happen to that character because he had a bright future. And again, this show shows both the good and the bad of the things that happen within the neighborhood, so on and so forth. So I kind of felt like that character, unfortunately, was going to die. How it played out is he had a speech that he had to give. He was going to give a speech on TV, and he went to visit Diamond at the barbershop to get some assistance on practicing for the speech. So, of course, when he's done practicing and Diamond takes him back home, Leon runs into the same bully that he had issues with earlier this season. And of course, you know, he had his moment where he punched the bully, but then the bully pulls out a gun and kills him. And again, you know, like I said, it's very sad. You know, obviously they foreshadowed it the whole episode, though, from the minute that they had the conversation with Gianna to the minute where you saw Diamond helping Leon put his tie on. And how they took those moments to slow down. Diamond's like, oh, you're going to have an excellent future. You're probably going to go to college. So we knew that this was going to happen. And again, still a very sad thing to happen to the character. But again, it changes Diamond completely, you know, because this entire episode, Tommy's trying to reach him because they have a meet and he's unable to make the meet. So, you know, at the end of the episode, we do see the correctional officer does roll up on Diamond when he's in a really bad way. Diamond and Tommy are in the barbershop, and then you see that when the guy attempts to try to arrest Diamond, he slits his throat. Very dramatic scene. The cut, the blood splattering, and then they had that visual at the end of the blood on the mirror. That was a very cool shot, I have to say. But yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, I think we needed to see the darker side of Diamond because we already know that Tommy can be a very dark character as well. I don't think we saw enough of that so far. So I was glad to see what they did with Diamond in this episode. And it makes me very curious to see how everything is going to work out moving forward. So stay tuned for that. My second takeaway is about the Flynns in this episode. Obviously, one thing I will say is we did see at the very beginning, you know, Vic and Tommy. And this is after Vargas gets killed. And then Vic plays off as if he actually had the tracker inside his car. Now, I will say this, okay, Tommy is a pretty smart guy. I kind of feel like Tommy will know, if he doesn't already know, which I kind of find funny that he doesn't know, but if he doesn't already know, I mean, he should know that Vic is the guy that is the most suspicious, because a couple episodes ago, when Vic joined CBI, they had a conversation and Vic asked, oh, so when do I get to meet your connect? That should have been a red flag to Tommy at that point in time. So I look forward to seeing what happens in the next episode, because I really feel like there's no other direction for them to go, because everybody's going to know it's Vic. I did like how they played around in this episode with the whole thing of, oh, well, Tommy thinks it could be Jannard. And I did think it was interesting that Vic would tell Tommy, oh, yeah, Jannard is probably the guy that you need to pay attention to, because, you know, Claudia approached him about a side deal. So I thought that was very underhanded of him to do that. You know, I wonder how Jannard would react if he found out that Vic was the one that basically tried to set him up like that. I guess we'll have to wait till the next episode, because, again, somebody is going to be put to the test. And obviously somebody is going to fail that test, and there has to be consequences for that. So I look forward to seeing what happens with that. And one other thing I will mention about the Flynns, we did see that Claudia, again, she did approach Shanti and tells her about the business that she had with the Viagra Club, pretty much that she was basically making other money. And of course, I found it interesting that Shanti did not like that she lied to her. But again, it feels as though they cleared things up and they started to talk a lot more. But then we do see that Gary's favorite character, Murkowicz, shows up again in this episode, comes to Claudia and says, you know, well, I am protecting you this entire time. My fee has now raised. Anytime you make money from anything, I have to get a cut of that. So this goes back to what I said before about I want this Murkowicz character to just get taken out. Hopefully next week or the finale, because this character is a problem for everybody on the show. And it just, to me, is like, I don't really buy him as somebody that would be a significant threat. I feel as though he can have a successor, and they're probably going to have a successor for him once he does get taken out. But I can't wait for them to get rid of this character, because he just drags down everybody. And the fact that he is dealing with Claudia, he's an issue for Claudia. He's also an issue for Tommy and everybody else. I feel like it's only a matter of time. So hopefully he will be gone from the show soon. We'll have to wait and see. And finally, final takeaway of this episode is about Tommy. I really like what they did with Tommy in this episode. The funny interaction that he had with Che and Miguel at the Ken Sonara. Yeah, there was the event for Che's daughter because she was turning 15.
Quinceañera.
Thank you very much. But yeah, they pretty much had that event. And I thought it was hilarious that Tommy had that interaction with Che and Miguel, obviously making Miguel very angry. And again, as grandmother has already told Miguel, Tommy, you have to keep an eye on this guy. Tommy has been a step ahead of Miguel the entire time and everything that he has done. So for Miguel to finally find out this information, I thought that was very interesting. He still doesn't know that Tommy is messing around with Maria. I think it's only a matter of time before that happens. But one thing I will say is, you know, as far as what happened with Vargas at the beginning of this episode, I thought it was interesting that they decided to just leave the body there, make it look like it was a robbery, because obviously that meant that they were going to find Vargas a lot sooner. And of course, Vic tried to say, oh, he wasn't there. But I do find it interesting that once they do find out that Vic was there, Stacy is basically gets Vic at the end of the episode to say, yes, Tommy is the one that killed him. So, I mean, obviously Stacy wants Tommy. She does approach him in this episode, does confront him, and she tells him she knows he's messing around with Maria, basically try to get under his skin. And of course, she also confronts Maria later in the episode and brings up Lakeisha Grant. So Lakeisha's ghost, as Dana would allude to. She does bring her up to basically try to get under her skin. And she does mention that a RICO investigation is potentially coming, and she doesn't want to be involved in that. So I'm very curious to see what happens with Tommy moving forward. it kind of feels like there's a lot of things he has on his plate. Of course, they are successful in talking to the Sons of Destruction, and they do get aligned with them. Jannard actually had an opportunity to shoot Tommy, but decided to save him instead. So I will say this. I know while Tommy is trying to figure out who the snitch is, he should not really doubt Jannard, because Jannard did save him in this episode. But the problem is, Jannard did take a photo of Tommy with Maria a couple weeks ago. So I want to see if that photo is going to come back and be an issue for him later, if Tommy ever finds out about that photo. So, I mean, there's a lot that Tommy has to consider. But overall, I enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed what they did with Tommy and Diamond in this episode. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next episode. Obviously, we do have a week break coming up, so we got to wait a little bit longer. But I'm pretty sure it will be worth the wait, maybe, based on the trailer. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, I enjoyed this episode a lot, and look forward to seeing what happens next.
Oh, yes. Excellent takeaways, as usual, from Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. I do believe that picture will resurface, and, you know, Miguel might catch eyes on that photo, you know, of Maria and Tommy. But, yeah, great takeaways, great observations, as always. And now we're going to head over to Miss Dana Abercrombie. So, Dana, hit us with your takeaways.
So here's one of my main takeaways that I don't know if how anybody else feels about this. Regarding Miguel. Miguel, when he first came into the series, this to me felt like he was someone who was in control, in command. We saw how he had the fetish with the hand, you know, freezing hands and breaking hands. And I really felt that it was a threat to him. I really felt like, oh, we have to be on our P's and Q's. But as the episodes kind of continued and we've seen Miguel really interact with people, to me, I kind of feel that he's not really a threat anymore. That whole situation where Tommy went to the quinceañera and talked to Che, and they had this conversation where Tommy was basically saying, you know, yeah, if it wasn't for me, you know, Miguel would be dead. I saved his life. And Che's like, I like these guys. It just seems that Miguel is slowly losing his power. And I wonder if that was intentional so that he can make this big, bold comeback. But at this moment right now, even if he was to find out about Maria and Tommy, I don't feel like they're at a threat. I don't feel like this is something that's really serious. I feel more that Grandma will be the one to take out Tommy more than anyone else. You know, she seems to be the leader of the pack. So I just really hope that the way how they're setting him up, the way how they're kind of, because this episode really just continued to chop off Miguel's balls. If they're going to grow those balls back, it has to be something that's major in the upcoming two episodes. Or what else is he there for? Everything that he proven to be this big threat, you know, he was the connect to everything. He was a distributor for everything. Now it's just like he has kind of nothing. And I'm just waiting for something to happen. What I also liked about this episode was Diamond and Diamond's arc so far. We know that from the very beginning, he's been playing this, you know, very calm, under the radar, very clean, because he had the threat of going back to jail, where, you know, he would face a very large amount of time. To me now, with the fact that the parole officer is dead, and also I'm very happy the streets got a body, Leon is dead, we've seen a different side of Diamond, where he was the mentor, staying under the radar. Yes, he was doing his dirty, but he was kind of doing his dirty just a little bit. He poked his toe in there. He wasn't fully in there. And so now with everything happening and the fact that, you know, he's looking at himself, and one of the things that he did say was, you know, I am a drug dealer. I am the leader of the CBI. It's him, even though he's in pain, accepting who he is. And this, to me, means that we're going to probably get the unrestrained Diamond. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with the parole officer. We don't know where the body is going to be, how they're going to frame it as. Are they going to be looking at Diamond? Then on top of that, we do have Miguel's father, who was the one who went to the parole officer and said, hey, this is what's going on. He's lying to you about his actual, what he's his doings in his past, because he was very upset about him hanging out with Leon. It did seem like a big random moment, but to me, it makes you always know that people are always watching. No matter when you think you being slick and you under the radar, there are people who are always watching you. And so I did like the fact that they brought him back in. And I did like the fact that he was able to speak to the parole officer. The parole officer's death was something that was really unexpected. I thought after, you know, we had this really positive conversation about, yeah, you're doing right, no drug test today, that we would just kind of see less and less of the parole officer. I did not expect his death. So that came as a really big surprise to me, which I appreciated. I like being surprised, and I like when things are a bit unpredictable. I didn't really predict that Tommy was going to just go right to Che and talk to him in front of Miguel and the grandmother, which just made it even more great. So I liked how what they're dealing with that. One of the things that seems to also be interesting and could maybe be showing their cards a little too early is Stacy and Bobby. What was fascinating was, you know, Stacy, I don't know if she got riled up because it's like the excitement and possibly arresting Tommy and, you know, there's just the excitement of the job. But she went and she kissed Bobby, and Bobby, if you notice, he did not reciprocate at all. He's just letting her go at it. So I wonder if her excitement and her zeal to just move forward without really thinking, because Bobby is the one that's the thinker. Remember, he was the one, we don't have warrants for this, we don't have this, we have to do everything by the book. And as you can see, Stacy is a little, she's in that gray area, like, I don't care, I just want Tommy. I wonder if that is going to end up jeopardizing the case in the end. You know, what is that really going to do? And the fact that Stacy went to Maria and was like, Leticia, and asked him about all these different things in his past, and that you're going to be involved in the RICO case. She did say that she's done with everything, so I wonder if she is going to just pack up her bags and leave as well. Because here's the thing, for me right now, I don't really see this strong connection in terms of her always wanting to be around Tommy. Remember, she's the one who's always trying to break things off. I'm not getting that. What, my heart is really into this relationship, I'm torn situation. If she was to completely walk away, I really wouldn't feel anything, because they haven't built that kind of close relationship of, I don't care, whatever happens, I'm sticking by your side. I mean, he did do that really nice act of kindness of saying, you know, I don't want to tell you what's going on, but if you ask me, I'm not going to lie to you. And she really did appreciate that. And maybe that's a nice little way to get into her heart. But she, again, was still really upset about the situation with Che. And she was like, you know, don't talk to me. I need time to breathe. And then with Stacy coming in with this information, it just kind of seems like she could just walk away from it all. And it is nothing. So I don't know where we're really going with this relationship. I hope we figure it out soon. I hope it's not a will they, won't they in the next season and keep dragging it along. I just want there to be decisions to be made. And even if I don't know if Stacy came there to approach Maria about, you know, if you have any evidence, call me up, or if it was really like, I really just don't want you to die, so just be aware. I'm just trying to figure out what the motive is, because their relationship, as we've seen this season, is kind of worst kept secret. How the fact that Miguel doesn't really know, it's just like, I don't know at this point. Especially since he's the one, like, if you're really concerned about someone and you always want to protect them, you would have guys always watching your sister. And so no one's told Miguel this. So I'm just like, where do we go? That seems to be one of the big things. Another thing is, I do like Shanti and Claudia. I like the fact that one is trying to up the other one and we don't know who to trust, and they're all just lying back and forth. That, to me, is like a really great way to keep the audience on their toes. So I do appreciate that. I like that very much so. And again, give me my female Avengers drug dealer team. I'm happy with that. So overall, I will have to say that this episode really was good. I liked how it moved the story along. And it also offered us some surprises that I didn't really predict or see. So overall, I kind of like that. Also, another thing, sorry, with Mirkovich coming and shooting up the, what was it, when they went to go meet with the, was it the DSDs? The CBI and the DSDs went to go and meet Mirkovich. People came in there. And I like the fact that they're still upset and that they're remaining a threat. I just thought that someone would actually die that would be serious. And this episode, I mean, you coming in with guns literally blazing and you didn't get your main targets. But it did also prove to me that, you know, Gennard didn't kill Tommy, which, you know, again, moved the story forward and how he's really listening to Shanti. But Shanti is playing everyone. And I wonder who will get smart enough to see that. And I really think that it'll be Claudia before it'll be Gennard or anyone else at this point. So maybe we'll have a Shanti Claudia showdown, not this season, but maybe the next season. So I look forward to that.
Yeah, excellent takeaways there from Dana. I like your analysis about the, you know, the relationships, particularly the Stacey and Bobby, because that was a good point. That was a good note about, you know, it seems like Stacey's kind of like on a power trip kind of, and, you know, she's getting off on, like, she's really high on adrenaline from this case. And Bobby's just, you know, he's just by the sidelines watching, you know, trying to reel her in sometimes. But yeah, that's a interesting observation. And I also wonder what lies in the future for Maria and Tommy also. So yeah, good point. And yeah, like the Mirkovich thing with the SODs, the shootout, I feel like it was funny, like how Mirkovich was just like, okay, bro, I'm out, I'm gone. He just like straight walked out in the middle of the shootout. Like, that was funny to me. But yeah, good observations as always. And yeah, I'll get straight into my takeaways now. So first of all, let me talk about Diamond, because I really like the arc that he's been on this season. It's much stronger than the arc he was on in the first season of Force, I think. It really shows his character a lot. And you see that kind of contrast in him where he wants to do better and he wants to be like a positive influence to, you know, the younger generation and everything, and the community and the streets and everything like that. But, and he, you know, throughout this season, he's been tested by his parole officer as well, you know, who's been kind of keeping him in check and making sure he leans more towards the good side than the bad side kind of thing. So you've seen that inner conflict in him where he has to be this stone cold drug dealer with Tommy, you know, because, you know, that the whole expansion is a real thing, or, you know, the expansion of the CBI and stuff, like, it's a real thing that's there and he has to deal with it and he has to be Tommy's right hand man. But at the same time, you know, he sees another path. He sees, you know, the positive path in Leon and, you know, his family, like the mother and everything. And he wants to kind of lean more in that direction too. But this episode just took all of that away from him. Like, he's been completely stripped of that dream now. So we see Leon obviously gets killed by the bullies. I think it was good to see that Leon actually used his training from Diamond. Like, he actually, you know, won the fight. But then, you know, of course, and this is something that unfortunately happens sometimes, you know, people lose a fight and then they pick up the gun. And, you know, Leon ended up losing his life, sadly. And we see later on that, you know, his mother blames Diamond for this because she knows he's a street guy, you know, so she blames him for that. And this, you know, this just completely broke down Diamond completely, to where we see him drinking in the barbershop and everything. And and then, you know, later on, Tommy comes in, sees him sitting there with all the drugs and the money, you know, spread out, and That leads up to the scene where, you know, the parole officer comes in because obviously the, I forgot his name now, but Leon's dad, Rich, you remember?
Jamal.
Jamal, there you go. Rich yep. knows every name, so he's my reference for the names. But yeah, Jamal, you know, obviously told the parole officer that Diamond is playing him. And then, you know, the parole officer went to see Diamond. He sees all the drugs and the money. He sees Tommy. And then, you know, Diamond shows that, you know, he now, he gives no Fs anymore. And he just slit the guy's throat, you know. So, and, you know, that very sadistic smile we see on Tommy's face when he looks at him in the mirror, I think it's two things. I think it's he realizes that Diamond is all the way in. He's all the way committed, and the old Diamond is back. And also, you know, he now realizes that there's no way Diamond is a snitch also. So he's very happy about that because he has a loyal partner in Diamond. I think, you know, that's probably part of where that smile comes from. But yeah, man, I really like how they're portraying this character in this season of Force. He's definitely a very good number two type character. You know, he bounces off of Tommy very well, and hit the arc that he went on was really good. And I want to see where he lands at the end of the season now. You know, I want to see what's next for him. Surely it's going to be something to do with Jannard, because, you know, the Jannard problem is still lurking in the background. So we'll see what happens there. And yeah, my second takeaway was I thought, you know, Tommy at the, you know, let me try and say it. I don't know if I can say it, but let me try it. The Quinceañera. Did I get it right?
Quinceañera.
There you go.
Like you're keen on someone.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, so that moment where Tommy showed up was brilliant. Like, I loved it. It's like vintage Tommy, where he just makes a bold move, because we wasn't expecting that at all. Like, we knew he wanted to get at Shay, you know, the plug and everything, but to just show up like that, you know, completely uninvited, and like, you know, knowing that he actually has a lot of love for Maria as well, and respect for her, you know, the fact that he showed up there to pull a drug move, you know, basically, is, you know, it shows a lot about his character. Like, he puts this life first and foremost, this life that he's living. He wears it on his sleeve, you know, unapologetically sometimes. And I do think he actually genuinely loves Maria, but he knows that, you know, he knows what he signed up for in the drug game. And to, you know, to execute his plan of taking over, he knows that this is what he needs to do at this moment. You know, he needs to go there. He needs to one up Miguel, and he needs to make a good impression on Shay. So that was a great move by Tommy. It kind of reminds me of the old Tommy a little bit from original Power, because he used to always make these bold kind of moves against Ghost's wishes, you know, and Ghost would be mad at him, but he also knows that it's Tommy's strength at the same time. And, you know, Ghost would kind of readjust and work around it kind of thing. But yeah, like, this was a great scene for Tommy's character, because there have been moments this season where he's felt a little passive, or like he's not doing much. But in this episode, he was very active. He was doing a lot. So, yeah, I loved it. So that was great. And then, you know, of course, it kind of causes a lot of conflict with him and Maria in their relationship. And this is like their first big kind of fight, I guess. So, yeah, like Dana said, I want to see, you know, where that leads next, because straight after that, we have Stacy showing up at, you know, Maria's house. So we know that now Maria is going to have even more questions for Tommy about, you know, what's going on and stuff. And then she's probably going to ask about Lakeisha Grant too. So this doesn't look very good for their future, you know. So we got to wait and see what happens. But maybe there'll be something that happens that pushes them for, closer together or, you know, farther apart. Who knows? But we'll have to wait and see. So our next takeaway is I just like that, you know, Tommy's plan of taking over the map, it's working out very well for him. And we kind of see it, you know, he's uniting all of these gangs. You know, in this episode, it was the SODs. You know, last week it was Chavo, the Puerto Rican gang. So his plan is really working, and he's kind of, you know, he's kind of on his way to, you know, unifying. Now, in the original Power, we know that him and Ghost were basically the distros, you know, of New York City or Manhattan, you know. So like they were distros. So he is like really on his way to becoming like, you know, that top spot in the city. And, you know, what's weird about this is that he's getting product from Miguel, you know. So this could be a roadblock that he has, because we saw in this episode that Miguel was actually trying to get Chavo working with him directly. But Chavo told him, I'm already getting, you know, the work from Tommy, and Tommy's getting the work from Miguel. So this is why, you know, Tommy wants to deal directly with Che. So you know, he can overstep Miguel and cut him out, I guess. But when, you know, I think it's a very dangerous plan, because Che, you know, obviously has close connections with that family, although there is some tension there, clearly. But he's closely connected to the family. You know, we saw him with the abuela, you know, the grandmother, talking to her and everything. So they have some sort of rapport going on. There was also the guy Nunez, which is, I think he's working with Miguel, and the grandmother mentioned him and said, you know, you need to, you know, look out for him because he might feel disgruntled or something. So I'm wondering if that's going to be something that is utilized here, either by Tommy or, you know, somebody else to kind of get at Miguel, you know. So it seems like a very blatant kind of hint, you know, or it was like, it's one of those things where it's like, because they mentioned it, you know, something is coming. So I'm wondering where they go with that. But yeah, I mean, Tommy is, his mission is working out, but just the fact that, you know, he's getting his products from Miguel and he's also dating Miguel's sister, these are going to cause some problems for him, because, you know, if he should, you know, if Miguel should decide to stop supplying Tommy and CBI, like, what happens then? You know, they have to find a new connect. And then while they're finding someone new, all of the people that they're working with are going to be mad that there's no supply, you know. So he's in a very, he has to win this game that he's playing, basically, you know, that there's no room for error. And we are now at episode 9. So I think we've reached a point of no return where things are going to, you know, really heat up in the next episode, in episode 9. So, yeah, I'm impressed with how they've handled this whole takeover. In my personal opinion, I feel like it's all going to fall apart somehow, maybe at the last minute. But he could also succeed. But, you know, my thinking is, you know, if it falls apart, it will make the next season more interesting going into it. Like, oh, what is he going to do now? You know, and obviously there's a lot of drama surrounding it with the whole Maria storyline. There's the whole Vic, you know, being a snitch and everything, and the whole Jannard and Diamond CBI. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. So I think it would be more interesting to see Tommy fail at this mission, you know, and we go into the next season seeing him kind of damaged or broken in some way, and having to pick up the pieces. Like, that's what I would like to see. But, you know, if he does complete his mission, then, you know, that's interesting also to see. But we know that wearing the crown comes with problems, like, you know, so he could be king of Chicago, but that he's going to face new problems. He's going to be a target at that point. So, you know, that's also interesting to watch in its own way. But we'll have to see which way they choose to take the show, I guess. But yeah, that's oh yeah, and one more thing as well is when we saw him in Ghost, he did seem like there was something urgent going on in Chicago, I think. So that tells me like there is going to be some, you know, conflict, a lot of conflict down the road still that he needs to deal with. And I'm thinking that the, you know, his ghost appearance happens after this season. Like it probably happens after in the timeline or something. So yeah, but we'll talk more about that later on, I guess. But yeah, those are my takeaways pretty much for now. So we'll get right into our questions and discussion segment. And this week, you know, because we are recording later, we have actually seen the trailer. So, you know, in this segment, we can use some of the knowledge we have of the trailer, you know, which we can never do before because we record before the trailer is released. But yeah, so the first thing I want to ask before I talk more directly about the trailer, first question I have for you two is, what do you think will actually happen? Like, how do you think the conversation will go when Maria does bring up Lakeisha, you know, in conversation next time they talk or whatever? Like, how do you see that conversation actually going? Like, do you think Tommy is going to be able to spin it and be like, look, this is, I think he's going to be truthful because he told her he doesn't want to lie to her already. But do you think he's going to, you know, be able to salvage it and say, you know, like, I don't want to lie to you, this happened and you know, but this would never happen with you because, you know, you really have my heart or whatever. Like, do you think he's going to do all that and she's going to go along with it? Or, you know, is that going to be the end of the relationship when she finds out that his ex is dead now, you know? So I'm going to go to you first, Dana. What do you think about that?
See, my whole thing is that, you know, he has been honest. He made that whole statement of don't ask unless you don't want to know. So maybe she doesn't ask. Someone already coming to your door and say, what happened about the dead girlfriend? You know, you're going to already kind of put the pieces together. Granted, you won't have the details, but it's not something that everyone really wants to know. And as I kind of stated before, the show is not really giving me a situation where it's like, I love this man and I'm going to be with him no matter what. It's still in this situation where she could just walk away from it all. And, you know, then Miguel finds out and then he throws a fit. But if in case she does ask him, he's going to just say, do you really want to know? And if she does say yes, I think, again, he's going to just be honest with her. Because, you know, Lakeisha was not exactly who was prim and proper and clean with everything. It wasn't like she was like, I stand by your side. She wasn't like an Angela to Ghost. Well, you knew that was, you know, I'm going to rock with you no matter what. Lakeisha had her own little dirt, too, that she pulled off. And while, granted, she's still dead, and we can argue whether or not she deserved to die, I just don't know whether or not Maria really wants the answer to that. So I'm okay with them, with her just not really bringing it up. Maybe she just takes that information, internalizes it, and then causes that to make her decision to leave. If she does decide to stay with Tommy, either way, I don't really see her bringing that up. Because here's the thing also, this is not someone who is a simple, you know, girl who hasn't been in any of the drug business or doesn't know what's really going on. Her family is in it. Remember, Stacy said, I know about your family. It wasn't just your brother. I know about your family. You know, everyone is involved with this. So she's not naive. And then on top of that, she had her own boyfriend that was murdered by Miguel. So she, by her even being or entertaining a relationship with Tommy, period, she knows what she's in for. So to me, it just doesn't seem like that big of a thing. And because the writing has not been driven to where we did, they are a team, again, she could just walk away and we're just going with the rest of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And yeah, that, you're absolutely right. She does have a history. She's already kind of dealt with, you know, the death of a boyfriend. I think a lot of her relationship insecurities with Tommy stems from her brother and everything. I mean, this situation with Lakeisha, you know, doesn't have anything to do with her brother. So I don't know if that means she'd be willing to excuse it, but at the same time, it is also, you know, not very inviting as, you know, a lady to know that a guy's ex is dead, you know, the guy's ex is dead. So who knows? Like, Rich, what do you think will happen when they have this conversation?
Well, I think you both made some very good points. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, if I'm honest. The thing is that I can understand her being concerned, obviously, when she hears that he has an ex that ended up dead. But like Dana said, they haven't really shown that she is committed to staying with Tommy, because this entire time, she still had doubts. Yes, she did go back with him a couple times, you know, so on and so forth, but she still has doubts about this entire thing. And she does say to him, I need to get away from you and Miguel, because this is, things are getting crazy right now. So I think it's just, it's put in there to just for you to watch as a viewer and then try to speculate on as to what is going to happen next. But one thing I will say is I did understand her perspective of thinking that when Tommy decided to show up at that event, that this entire time he just been trying to get close to her so he can get this business with Shay. That's 100% believable that she would suspect that. So I'm glad that she did address it that way. But now that you know, we have this situation of Stacy, and as you both have said, Stacy is very determined to get Tommy. She's just basically trying to get into Maria's head to make her turn against Tommy. So I want to see where that's going to go. But I do think she will approach Tommy about this in the next episode. And his reaction is, again, he's going to probably try to say, that's a different situation. Try to convince her. Nothing's going to happen to you. I'll take care of you. Or he may just be like, hey, you know what? You're right. Maybe I should stay away. I mean, I don't know how he's going to respond to that, because he seems dedicated and committed to not only taking over Chicago, but also getting, you know, getting the girl as well. So I want to see where they're going to go with this story. Because Joseph Sikora did a very good job with the acting when they had their little back and forth, talking about, oh, yeah, I'll take care of you. I'll take him out if he gets in the way. But come on, it's not going to happen that way. So we need to see where they're going with that. Go ahead,
yeah,
Dana.
Go, Dana.
You said that we can incorporate because we know what's happening with because the trailer, because we actually saw it. One of the things, the description in the trailer, from what I understand, was that Myra gives Tommy important information. And here's the problem with Stacy thinking that she's all great and powerful and wonderful. She said, one, we're building a RICO case against Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tommy knows that they're investigating him. Remember, she pulled that dumb stunt of like trying to talk to him in the middle of the street. It was like, we have pictures, right? And Tommy played it off real cool, and he has the lawyer that he calls up immediately, right away. So the fact that he knows that he's they're building a case, the fact that Stacy ran her mouth and was like, we're building a RICO. Who's to say that in the midst of their arguments, because remember, the thing did say, Maria gives Tommy the information, vital piece of information. That could be the case. So In the midst, you can either say, one, where they start arguing, and she's like, but Tommy, they're building a RICO case. And then that's when, you know, he finds out through that way. Or she's like genuinely is concerned and they decide if she wants to work it out with him, then she'd be like, Wasami, they're building a RICO case. You know, either way, I do feel that she is that vital information for him learning about the RICO case. So
I agree 100%.
At this point, whether it's not it's a warning goodbye or it's like a warning, let's stick this out, I do believe she's going to tell him that. Mm-hmm. So again, the thing is, Stacey, she's doing all of this and it's too much information coming out there. So it's, again, she may end up ruining her own case. And then Bobby's going to just be at the sidelines looking at her like, I told you so.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because I think Stacey made a mistake trying to like confront Tommy this soon. Like she should have waited till like there was more like evidence secured against him, and like, you know, he couldn't I guess come up with a plan to sidestep the RICO case or whatever. So she is being a bit too hasty. I understand that she's upset about, you know, the agent, you know, Agent Vargas being killed, but yeah, that she did a little bit too much this episode. But Rich, I think you had something to add on.
Oh, no, I agree with every point that Dana said. I just was going to add to go to what you both said about Stacey. I definitely think she is digging her own grave in terms of her career. I don't know if they're going to kill the character, but I do want to say this. When this happens, I do hope they acknowledge there are other members on that team that they showed us earlier this season that were working alongside Vargas. I would like to know, I'm pretty sure they're going to be angry that Vargas got killed, right? And they also think that she had something to do with that because he was purposely following Vic. So I would like to see if that's going to, if they're also going to turn against her later. It is, you know, as far as when it does come time for her to pay for her price, are they going to side with the other person that basically tells her if they, whether they shut down the task force or whatever they decide to do? I feel like we need to see their perspective on this as well, although it will be very brief, just to emphasize they don't agree with what she did and they think she's gone too far. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Because I know they had the Asian lady as well, so I wonder what her reaction would have been to this. But yeah, great points on that. So let me ask the next question now. So after, you know, actually seeing the trailer, do you think Tommy is actually going to find out that Vic is the snitch in the next episode? Because that seems to be a large focus of that episode, of him trying to figure out who's snitching. And of course, you know, he spoke to his lawyer towards the end of episode 8. So he knows that there's a RICO case and that the, you know, the task force is being very aggressive right now. So he can't have anything like that holding him back. So he needs to find the snitch immediately. So do you think he's going to put two and two together in this next episode? And this time I'm going to go to you first, Rich.
Very good question, Gary. Yes, he should. And to be quite honest, Tommy should already be suspicious of Vic because, as I mentioned earlier, when Vic mentioned a couple episodes ago, oh, so when do I get to meet the Connect? That should have been a red sign to Tommy. You shouldn't be asking these questions. I just let you into CBI. I'm not going to give you all of this intel, all this stuff. So I kind of feel like the next episode, because the way that they present the trailer makes you think that something big is going to happen in terms of that reveal. And I kind of feel like he should figure this out. But again, the fact that Jannara took that picture of Maria and Tommy, that's a very bad thing. If Tommy was to ever see that picture, he's going to be like, wait a second. So maybe you're the reason how they got access to these photos of me. Cause you know, Stacey did show him that photo that they took when Maria and him were driving. So that's why I want to see where they're going with this. I do want to also add, I did like the fact that Shanti and Jannara told Tommy about what was happening with Claudia and the Serbs. That was a very good move to make. Because when they had the scene where Shanti said, I got another plan, I was wondering what her plan was going to be. So I'm glad they were very transparent with Tommy about what was happening. But at the end of the day, I do think the next episode, they do need to, they definitely have to find out who the snitch is. I mean, listen, the episode is titled No Loose Ends. So I think it's pretty obvious. Something needs to happen by the end of that episode. Tommy finds out, and then the situation is resolved. I don't know how they're going to resolve it, because I don't know if they're going to kill Vic off the show yet or what they're doing, but he needs to at least know by the end of that episode, okay, this guy is a snitch. So how can we turn this around in our favor? We need to see how he does that. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yo, that was a very great point that you made, because if Tommy does somehow find that picture on Jannard's phone, he's definitely going to think he's the snitch. So, yeah, Jannard needs to be careful who he shows his phone to now. But yeah, like, I think, you know, episode 9, I think it's, you know, I feel like Vic could go out next week. I feel like he could get taken out next week. His character did get a little better, but I mean, he doesn't do that much for the show. I think Claudia is definitely the stronger character. So I wouldn't be mad if Vic gets found out and killed in the next episode, but we'll have to see if that's the direction they're going in. But Dana, Rich, did you want to say something quickly?
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead. Go to Dana next, and then I'll probably say something after.
Okay, yeah, I just want to say I don't know what happened, but I'm kind of like, can we keep Vic just a little bit longer? And it's weird because I'm like team kill Vic, and now I'm like, can we just, you know, maybe he can die maybe in the middle of the next season and not now? I do like the fact that it could be Jannard, you know, being accidentally blamed for this situation. And then that way we have a kind of a confrontation between Jannard and Diamond again. It's really interesting because they switched places with this episode where Jannard was kind of clean. There was no like lip smacking or side scratching. He was the clean one. And it was Diamond who like just completely went to Sweeney Todd on everyone and killed the parole officer. So I kind of like that. But I know that to draw it out of who's not the snitch is going to just be annoying to the watchers, but I kind of still want Vic just a little bit there. But then again, at the same time, aside from his team up with or being forced to record Tommy and Dim, he's not really doing anything. And there's too many eyes on him that want him dead anyway. We already know Jannard will easily, happily kill Vic. Tommy will happily kill Vic. Claudia will be like, hey, bang, bang. So to just get rid of him, I can see how that would work. I mean, the story would still continue to move forward because it's not like he's a big major part of it. What he's doing is kind of something that he doesn't want. But the plot twist could be, what if Vic comes to him and explains to him, I am the mold. This is what's going down. And then take the information that Stacy and Bobby is basically building against Tommy to explain, hey, this is what's really going on. And the fact that I didn't fully go out through this or maybe pretend to be playing, yeah, he's playing both sides, could help Tommy in the long run. And that's how he ends up, one, beating the case, and two, stays alive. So that could be a whole nother option that we didn't see. Vic is not in the trailer, from my recollection. Well, he is in the trailer, but it's not like him going and having a conversation. He just looks very pensive. So he does have a lot to think about. And again, his whole goal is to just walk away from everything, but he's gotten way too deep in order to do that. So that would be my only alternative. The only way to keep him alive is for him to go to Tommy and be like, this is what happened, but here's the information that they have on you. I have no other way. That or he'll just be murdered and people will be happy about that. I don't know a single person on the characters on this show who would mourn the death of Victor. I mean, Claudia would be sad because technically that is her brother. But she kind of wants him dead as well. So I don't know anyone who's going to be like, no, keep him alive in terms of the characters. So he could easily just go. But at the same time, it might be a bit interesting if he stays. And then I just need him to, you know, have his own storyline of him doing something. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good point. I could, you know, I would be interested in seeing that and him being like a double agent kind of thing, like a mole and like he picks apart the case kind of thing from the inside. But I don't know, like the only thing is like once you get that on your jacket, like once you get snitch on your jacket, nobody's going to trust you anymore. So it's like, I don't see how much further he could go after, like after the task force is over. But yeah, go ahead, Rich. What was you going to say?
I agree 100% with what both you and Dana said. I think what the reason why this is a complex situation is because at the end of the episode, Stacy made him say, oh, yeah, Tommy is the one that killed Vargas. When he tried to say, no, it wasn't Tommy, she made him say that. And you saw how DeFranco tried to stop her and say, hey, he tried to say, hey, stop it, stop it. So, I mean, that is a bit of an issue. I want to see where they're going with that because, like I said, he knows what really happened. He did deny that he was there when Vargas got killed. Then when they found out the information, they said, oh, you were there. You lied about that. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't mind seeing the actor stick around because I did see an interview that he did on The Crew Has It. And I got a chance to learn more about his background. He was also on Hightown, which is another show that Gary Lennon worked on, and they killed him off of that show as well. So I would be curious to see what happens. But it's definitely a really tight situation that he's in right now. And there is one other quick comment I wanted to make, because I know Dana was going to make a comment. Because Dana made the comment about Jannard. That was something I did notice in this episode that I can't even tell that Jannard was using drugs at all. And what I thought when they showed that is I went back to the scene that he had with Shanti and she said, you either choose the drugs or me. All right. So I unfortunately think that could be foreshadowing that if something happens to Shanti in the future, then unfortunately Jannard is going to go back to the drugs. And that'd be very devastating to see. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think that you just get over a drug, something like that, addiction like that, just like that cold turkey. The character is definitely going to fall back into that. I just want to see what causes that because it seems like it's going to happen in the future. But we'll see. But go ahead. Dana was going to say something.
I just wanted to say a couple things in regards to Stacy said, you know, in regards to Vic saying, oh, it was Tommy who killed the cop. He can easily say he was forced into saying that. And that's mm-hmm. technically not a lie. So that makes it look even more janky on Stacy's part of her just going too crazy with this case. And then you can back it up with other testimonies of like her not following protocol and working within that gray area. So it's very easy for him to pick the case apart. It could easily be a Braden situation where, you know, you think he's going to flip and he doesn't. And he's Team Tommy and he still lives to see the end of the day. So I think it would, as much as I was rooting for him to be killed this season, it would just probably be more beneficial as he stayed. I just need him to actually have something and a purpose. But also, I wanted to bring up the fact that, yes, Jannard also has the photo on his cell phone saying that, you know, the whole Miguel, that photo. What if we don't know who exactly, well, we know that the photo is in the phone. Just say something was to really go down. Who is to say, or what is to say that Jannard won't blame Shanti on it. At the end of the day, she's being very aggressive. Yes, Shanti came to Tommy and was like, look, I'm working with Claudia, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, she's playing everybody. And I think even if Shanti was to come down between herself and Jannard, she would play Jannard too. I don't really see a loyalty there. In the beginning, it was kind of like real cute little couple. But then all of a sudden she switched to being, you know, some mastermind villain. So who's to say that he is not going to blame her? If it comes down between both their lives, I'm pretty sure Gennaro will be like, yeah, kill a bitch. So that could be it.
So here's a question for you both. I like that theory. What if Tommy makes Gennaro kill her? That would probably be pretty devastating for Gennaro. Yeah.
But is it really? Is it really, really? Like, oh my gosh, you're my ride or die. I really need you in my life. Because even when he was getting high, it wasn't necessarily because his relationship with Shanti was going terrible. It wasn't like, you know, I don't see her having, right now I see the stronghold that she has on Gennaro, but it's not necessarily I love you. It's a I rock with you until I can't rock with you anymore situation. Mm-hmm. And my goal and my hope is that Gennaro always has that eye out, like, look, she could cross me too, because she switched up a little bit with this episode. Remember? When she gave the speech about, you know, the pigs and coming home to roost and the chickens, and then how she changed her tactic again. So then I wonder if Gennaro is keeping that eye on, seeing like, look, she can change her way of thinking and her tactics. What does she really think about me? Could she use me as well? So I just really hope that he has that eye out, unless he just wants to be King Dum Dum and really just believe everything that Shanti's saying. Then we can go that route too. But, you know, either way, I do hope that he finds that Shanti is playing everyone, even if it's too late. I still hope that happens.
I agree. The last point I was going to say is, one thing we do know is that Shanti wants to keep the peace with the Serbs. Tommy wants to kill Mirkovic, so that is a conflict. When they kill Mirkovic, I want to see how she reacts to that, because that might be a problem, that she may have some issues with Tommy. So we need to see where they're going.
That works.
Uh-oh. Mute it. There you go.
That works out to everyone's benefit if Mirkovic is dead, because she wants to keep the peace because she knows that she cannot beat him. It's not like I really care about peace and kumbaya. If she wants to live. So if Tommy was to say take out Mirkovic, everyone would be like, yay, because remember, Mirkovic is also cutting into their profit.
Yep.
It's not like a kumbaya rainbow coalition of drugs that we're doing. And I do believe that her going to Tommy is just another incentive as to why Tommy should kill Mirkovic. So,
well, that character better not be going into season three. I will have something to say if he somehow makes it into season three.
Now he's just annoying at this part, and they're like, how are you going to shoot up the whole thing and you're not going to kill anyone major? Did they even kill anyone? Well, maybe, I think like maybe two people did, but they were like in the background.
Actors. Some people got shot. I do want to say I did laugh at that scene about how abrupt it was. You know, Tommy and Tommy, they having a conversation with the leader of the SODs. All of a sudden, Mirkovic, hey, comes right in, starts shooting.
I thought that was pretty funny. Mirkovic was told this information from.
He was told by one of the other guys. The other guys told him, pulled them aside when they were at Claudia's place. So it makes sense that they would show up. I just thought it was so quick and abrupt. It's like there was no security outside to see somebody's entering. They just know we're going to bust in, and then they start shooting. I thought that was hilarious. But, hey, I like the action, so I was cool with it. But, you know, to shout out to Gennaro for saying, Tommy, you had him. You was off. You could have got him, but you was off. So.
And it was also a one-upmanship between, because Gennaro was the one who killed the guy who was going to kill Tommy. So it was like cute little banter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick that I like your theories about there being tension between Gennaro and Shanti, you know, next week, because in the trailer there is a shot of Gennaro in the ring, so he might be sparring with someone. It could only be Diamond or Shanti, in my opinion. And if it is Shanti, it could be a sign that there is some conflict c- coming, because the sparring could be both physical and mental. You know, they could be signs of a rift, I guess. So, I like the points that you both made about, you know, some sort of rift happening between them.
He's sparring with his own demons, too.
Yeah, the heroin demons. Maybe he's hallucinating seeing demons, you know. But great points, though. Next question is, you know, in the trailer, there is that shot of Diamond drowning someone, and then we see a body in the water. So, you know, we kind of talked about this before we started recording, but like, so I know what you guys think already, but for the people, you know, who do you think that Diamond is drowning in the trailer? And I'll go to you first, Dana. I believe you were the one who actually said it earlier, so go ahead.
I said Leon's daddy. No loose ends. Yeah. It could be easily Leon's daddy. Because the person was alive and that's how they were fighting. Because I originally thought they was dumping the parole officer's body into the river. But the person was fighting, so it could be Leon's daddy. It's not Mirkovich, like everybody wish. I wish it was Mirkovich, but it's not yet. So it's Leon's daddy.
Rich, do you agree?
You know, I'm not really sure. I mean, that's an interesting take because it makes sense, right? Because he's the one that told the parole officer, yes, and exposed the Diamond, and then Diamond had to take him out. So I kind of understand that. But I kind of feel like this guy does not need to come near Diamond anymore, but I guess Diamond could track him down like he did already earlier this season. So, I mean, we'll see where that goes. Obviously, I wanted to be Mirkovich for obvious reasons, but I don't. Like I said, the description did say that Miguel and Mirkovich, they, you know, their war comes to a head. So somebody probably is going to get taken out next week of those two, when the next episode rather. But I'm not sure. But it obviously to me it looks like, because the way the trailer is cut, right? I was under the impression that this is somebody that both Tommy and Diamond hate that they took out. So I was under the impression it could be Mirkovich, but I don't know. I have no idea who it is. But well, I guess we'll have to wait and see, because the shot did show Diamond as the sole one drowning him. So, yeah, that's a good prediction. But I don't know. I'm not sure.
He like the look on his face, it was like it was a very personal killing. So
yes,
like,
yeah.
I think he's very angry at the father, at Leon's father. So
yeah.
But go ahead, Dana. You wanted to say something.
I just realized that my own theory is stupid because he doesn't know that Leon's father is still around. Remember, he was told that he just left.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know that he's in the neighborhood still. We already know who's the dead guy. The kid who shot the kid. Leon's killer.
Oh, really?
You think he would go after the kid star? Cause like, I don't know. I know he's unhinged, but like he might see them as like not.
Why
worth
not?
It,
you know? If you're in the environment where you want to be an adult and make adult decisions and take people's lives, why not you die as well? Kids die all the time. That's the one thing about this show that it has shown. It doesn't matter who you are. Kids, grandmas, everyone is a victim of this violence, of this cycle of violence. We've seen time and time again where kids take out adults, yeah. Right? Where we've seen adults take out kids, either drive-bys or on purpose. Raina, for example, she was a child when she was murdered. My thing is, why should we stop now and be like, oh, well, he's a kid, I can't kill him. You killed the boy?
I agree.
Come on.
I mean,
it has to be.
It's totally a possibility. I think part of him morally would question whether he should do it, but maybe he does decide to do it, you know? So it could be that.
That's one thing I will say. The character is at a point of no return, so it really could be anybody that he decides to kill, because we saw that by the end of this episode. This is a different Diamond. This is not the same character that we got introduced from season one. This guy looks like he don't give a damn. He will kill whoever gets in his way. That's why it's exciting.
That's why it's delicious. And then also on top of that, the woman, even though it was completely wrong, and I'm sitting here like, what is your problem? She blamed him for her son's death, even though he had nothing to do with it. Technically, he lived longer because he taught him how to fight. If we're being technical, he still died, but he got little punches in, and he lived like 5 more seconds longer than he would have before. So that, coupled with the fact that, remember, he was the man in the mirror. He did that whole thing with blood, and it was like, you know, this is who I really am, a drug dealer, and what was it, the leader of the CBI. And so he's basically reverting back to that diamond of the past, the diamond of, what was it, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So unhinged diamond is what I crave. So this makes a lot more sense for it to happen.
So let me ask a quick question to the both of you. And I know Dana will understand this question, although you should as well, Gary. What would you feel if this is our New Jack City moment where Diamond is choking out and drowning his brother Jannard instead?
Yeah, that did cross my mind too. me personally, I'm not ready for Jannard to die yet, but anything is a possibility. You know, they could decide to kill off the character next week. Who knows? You know, but that would be something to see. That would be very emotional television, you know, if it was Jannard.
Yeah, I agree. It is far-fetched, I guess. We'll have to see what happens. One thing I will say, though, this is a fact from Dana's interview. We know that Deion Taylor is doing the finale. And obviously, I think something major is going to happen in the finale. I don't know what that is, but I'm just saying that's why I said I want to see what happens in the next episode, because it will set up what happens in the finale. So I look forward to that. But I have no idea, and that's probably a good thing. I'd be very curious to hear what the people say in the comments about who they think that is, that Diamond was trying to drown. So look forward to seeing those comments.
Okay, so, you know, one more question and then we'll get to final thoughts. So this is kind of a two-part question, I guess. But in this episode, we did see the return of Kate. You know, she mentioned that she was in New York. And, you know, she's back in her alcoholic druggy bag a little bit. And, you know, she was high on the couch. And JP actually admits to her that D-Mac is actually still alive. And of course, she doesn't take this very well, because the whole reason she relapsed was because she thought D-Mac was dead. You know, so she's very irate at this. So, you know, two-part question here. I guess the first question is, do you think we'll see D-Mac again this season? You know, will he make a return? Will she go to, you know, find out where he is and visit him potentially? And second part, do you have any theories about what Kate might have been doing in New York? You know, why did she go back? Why did she choose to go back there? And are they going to connect the dots there somehow? So two-part question. And Rich, go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, I do have a theory. Kate went back to New York and was getting high. That's what my theory is. I have no idea. Obviously, she was missing. You know, she probably could have went to whatever places she normally went to when she did get high, getting product. I don't understand why she would go all the way back to New York, but maybe they will explain that a little bit later. But to answer your question, I don't think we're going to see D-Mac until next season. I mean, we could see him in the finale, I guess, as like, because they probably resolve a major conflict, one of the major conflicts by the end of the season. And then you get a chance to see, okay, yeah, so D-Mac is now reformed or to some extent. But I think they're going to hold off his return until next season. One other thing I do want to mention, though, when JP had his interaction with Kate and he had that line about, you have been a mess a long time ago, I laughed at that scene, because he's right. The character is a mess. But hey, it's a very honest conversation. very relatable with both of the characters. So, and yeah, it makes sense that he does not want her around D-Mac if she's going to be using. So she will definitely try to sober up again, I would imagine, in the next two episodes. But we'll see what happens. But I thought it was a great interaction just to see what was happening with Kate. And I have no idea what she did in New York, though. That's a good question. But I'm going to be curious to hear what Dana has to say about that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dana. What do you think?
I initially thought that's when we got the whole that Tariq situation when he was knocking at the door. Then I realized I was wrong. My thing is, I do want to know what she was doing in New York, but it's probably something that's really uneventful. It was probably, as you just said, she was just getting her supplies and going back to where you were originally. That is her home, technically. New York City is her home. And she just wanted to go back to that area. I thought what was more interesting was the fact that she called JP the bastard son. She's like, my bastard son killed my grandson. That was funny. But I do, here's the thing. I like the fact that she was a complete mess because she thought her grandson was dead. And I wonder, and it would be a really great time for her to use that. He's alive. I get to be reunited with him again if I stay clean. So this time she stays clean, clean, clean. My other issue is at the back of my head, I am wondering whether or not she would start talking. And if she's in New York, you know, and she's staying in her drug fit at that time, you know, Tommy is still alive. I'm wondering if this is going to have an extra blowback for the next season. Because if she's in New York and she's explaining Tommy is alive, and then you have Stacy saying, oh, you're just a ghost. We know that you're alive. You faked your own death. I wonder how this is going to come into play come season three. That's what I'm more interested in. I would like her to stay clean, and I would like her to be with her grandson. But here's the thing. I don't want to see the grandson because I'm wondering whether or not he's going to revert back to his old ways and be like, where's my gun? I'm coming, Uncle Tommy. I want him to stay clean, go to school, do something really great and awesome. Maybe he can be the family lawyer because they need a lawyer. Everybody needs a lawyer. So he can be like the family lawyer of the situation. But Kate being sober for her grandson, it would be really nice. It would be really touching. I don't think Kate has done anything. Well, yeah, she has. You can argue she has. But it would be nice if she would have a redemption where she lives. You know, she's been a terrible person, a terrible mother in the past. But it's nice that she could change her attitude. So that would be interesting. I just wonder if there's going to be any blowback to her going to New York City and JP being the one that told Kate that Darnell is still alive. What is the blowback with him? Because he hasn't done anything really this season. I need him to get involved and to do something. That would be nice. So, yeah, I just don't know what's happening in New York City. Because even if you remember when they went back to New York City in the other power, she seemed to be sober. From my understanding, Kate was sober when they had that interaction. And from this, we know she was clearly not sober when, you know, she was in New York City. So I don't think that's when the timelines makes it or meet at that moment right now. So who knows?
Yeah. So with that, the question is like, when did Diana Tejada knock on her door? Like when did that happen in the timeline? Because when Tommy was in New York, that doesn't add up because we know that Tommy's doing other things right now. But you know, the question is like, when did that Tejada thing happen? And I would need to rewatch the season to see how it matches up. But yeah, who knows? Like Rich could be right. Maybe she was just getting high, you know, in New York. But I think Kate, you know, I kind of feel bad for her a little bit this season because she was really trying to you know, redeem herself with her, you know, her sons and her grandson. Like she was really trying to better her connection with them. But they just didn't care because the damage has already been done in their eyes. Like, she already neglected them and, you know, all that stuff. So they, you know, they didn't receive it. They didn't receive that she was trying to make amends. And then that ended up kind of hurting her more, I guess. So, yeah, it's kind of sad. Her story's a little tragic. But Dana, you had something to say?
Here's the thing. Yes, she's a terrible mother, but everything that happened, she kind of was literally out of the loop and was clean about it. So it wasn't like she caused anyone like Darnell to get in trouble or Tommy or JP. She actually was like the good one this time. And her emotions, you can even argue, was for the best, because here's the thing. She didn't scar Darnell. She had the opportunity to be the grandmother that she was the grandmother that she always wanted to be, in the mother that nobody else had. So in a way, she was doing everything right. And technically speaking, the fact that they didn't tell Kate what really happened, yes, that is to protect Darnell, but that could also be used to protect Kate as well. You could look at it in a weird way. By her not really knowing anything, they can't come and scoop her off the street and use her as a pawn, because she doesn't know anything. So in a way, they was protecting her as well. Whether or not she deserved that protection, because she was just so terrible as a mother, that's debatable. But everything that they've done, it was kind of was done to her. She didn't do anything to anyone else this time. So that is a positive. I mean, she was even really cute about, here's $20 and go see that little girl that you liked. So she did okay.
Yeah, Rich, you got any thoughts on that as well?
Oh, no. I agree with what Dana said. Kate really didn't have anything to do with what was happening with the other characters in the show. Obviously, what she did in the past when she wasn't there or she abandoned JP, that was to the extent of how she impacted them. But as far as this season goes, she didn't do anything directly. Yeah, she did give D-Mac money to go because she didn't know what the whole situation was with him. She gave him money to go to the store. Then he got caught. Tommy said, no, I need to send you away now because you didn't listen to what I said. But honestly, yeah, you know, I am curious to see what happens to the character from here. I definitely want her to definitely get clean again, because as you both said, when we saw her in Ghost, she was already clean. So I obviously she's going to go through that process again. But now she has another reason, an even stronger reason to get clean, because she wants to see her grandson. She had a relationship with D-Mac, so I think that's 100% believable. So we'll see where they're going with that.
Oh, yeah, indeed. So, yeah, I want the people to chime in as well. Let me know what you think, you know, of all this stuff we discussed. But before we end off, let's get some final thoughts as well, if you think there's anything we missed talking about from this episode or the trailer. You know, now is the time to speak on that as well. So I'm going to go to you first, Dana. Do you have any final thoughts? Oh, do you need some more time?
I need some more time, but I thought that it was a really good episode. This what we had going on, you know, it did a lot with moving the story forward, and some characters acted completely reckless and some acted that were justified with their recklessness. So I thought that it was pretty good. I want to see more of what Claudia and Shante are going to do with working together. I'm really sick and tired of Markovic. He can go at this point. And before, as I said, Vic is really growing on me. And with Maria, she can come or go. I don't really care. She's not giving me something to invest in aside from just complaining about my brother. So we can see what goes on with that. But if she does decide to stay, I'm going to need her to, you know, put some action in there and not just be like off to the side judging. And grandma, I want grandma. Give me more grandma.
Oh, yeah. Grandma's gangster. Like, she's the real gangster, for real. You mean the Miguel's grandma, right?
Miguel's grandmother, who I call like Griselda Jr. Let her I want to see her because she's the one who's always giving advice and knowing things. And so I'm wondering also kind of with the conversation that she had with Miguel, is that going to make Miguel more paranoid? Is he going to go after Nunez? What's going to go on with that situation? Is Che going to have to get more involved? Maybe he'll be the one who kills Miguel. I don't know. And then if Miguel is dead, we do know that Grandma is going to throw a fit. And we do know that Grandma has power as well. So is she going to get her goons together to retaliate? I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sleep on Grandma. She's definitely a G, like, for real. So, yeah, great points there. So, Rich, do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, no. I thought this was a great episode. I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else thinks about it. One last thing I will say, though, to give a shout out to you, Gary, because you made a comment on this show a couple weeks ago with your thoughts that something else is coming to this show from the original Power. I think that that is still going to happen, but I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is. You know, we got Holly. We saw the ghost of Holly show up. Because, again, and we also had that character that had a connection to Julio. So I want to see, I kind of feel like the end of the season is probably going to end with something major does happen. I have confidence that something is going to happen in the next episode because, again, the decision, the fact that they killed off Walter and Polly halfway through the season, and then they told you at the end, this episode, we need to find out who the snitch is. So the next episode, I think something is going to happen, but in the finale, For sure. I'm curious to see what the big twist is or the big surprise is that's going to make people want to watch season three. So I look forward to seeing what that is. But you might be on to something about what you said about something coming from the original Power that may show up, you know. So let's see what that is. But otherwise, very good episode.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that so I don't sound like a Power conspiracy theorist all the time, you know, because I do think there is a big surprise coming, but who knows what it might be. But I do think it's either going to be something from the old Power or it's going to be something connecting to Ghost, one of two things, you know, I think is going to happen. Go ahead, Dana.
It's Kendrick Lamar.
I forgot the name of his character, but his character was kind of cool. He was a cool dope head. You know?
He was really cool. I call him Bubbles Jr. He was really cool. I liked him. But him and Chicken Wing are going to meet up, and they're going to have like conversation about what's going on in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. That would be good to see. But, yeah, like there's just a lot of signs that make me think. They're doing something, and if they happen to kill off a lot of characters next week, that's gonna further confirm to me that they're planning something for the future, like, and they're just like making way in the story, like they're clearing space, I guess. So yeah, I guess we'll see what happens though. But for now, that is gonna, oh, go ahead. No, go ahead real quick. You're muted, Dana.
The thing that I was going to say that makes kind of the most logical sense is they're always kind of bringing it up, and we do know that Tommy has a history, would be the police force in New York City from the original Power.
See, the thing is, they kind of already did that. Like, in the end of season one, they had the whole Blanca scene that led to nothing, which was basically like,
that's simple, Gary. Blanca's boss is going to now say in the finale, okay, well, now we need to go to Chicago and investigate Tommy. You heard he's there, so that's what they could do.
Yeah, I guess they could have it to where they find out, I guess, that he's alive. Maybe that could be it. I don't know.
I think they already know because the two teams talk to each other. This is not like the 90s or the 2000s where they don't communicate. They communicate with each other now. So the New York team knows what the Chicago team is doing. That's how you get information. So where is Blanca? I don't think they completely threw away the script from the season one and got rid of all the ideas that they were probably making in season two.
Yeah, but remember, Blanca was focused on Tariq in Ghost, so I don't know. I don't know how it lines up.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know. It could be many things. So I want to see what the people think, you know, is going to be the big surprise, if there is one. But yeah, any more thoughts real quick? Going once, going twice.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, no. Thank everybody for their continued support. Looking forward to seeing what everyone has to say about this episode. And, of course, what's to come. But no, that's all I had to say.
Indeed, indeed. I was going to say something, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, so I'll hold off. But yeah, that is going to be it for this week. I'll let you guys know after this what I was going to say. But that is going to be it for this week. We will be back, I believe, in 2 weeks, because I think there's a break now. We'll be back to cover episode 9. And I'm sure we're all very much looking forward to it, to seeing what's going to happen in that episode, because it looks pretty explosive. And, you know, I noticed in that trailer as well that they kept it pretty brief. And usually that means, you know, there's going to be a lot happening that they don't want us to know yet. So can't wait to see, you know, what actually happens. But we'll be back to cover that episode when it does come out. So look for us. In the meantime, everybody, enjoy yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Stay healthy. We'll be back soon. Peace.